Father, you've taught us so much in these recent weeks about prayer through your Son Jesus, and we pray again this morning that you would teach us again what it means to pray, and we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, this morning we come to the final petition of the Lord's Prayer, or petitions, depending on how you count them. We come to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So if you'll notice, if you're in Luke, that Luke doesn't include that second clause. He simply records, lead us not into temptation. But I don't think that's because Luke is omitting a petition. I think those two clauses, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, are actually one petition. Deliver us from evil, then, is, I think it's explaining or further unpacking what lead us not into temptation means. We might think of the two clauses as maybe two sides to one coin, to one petition that Jesus is teaching us to pray, which we could summarize very simply as a request for God's spiritual protection. A request for God's spiritual protection. And so that's how I want us to study it together. I want to answer two questions about this spiritual protection this morning. Two questions. Number one, why we need to pray for protection. And then number two, what we need to pray protection from. So why do we need to pray this, and what are we praying protection from? So let's look at the first one. Because like we saw last week with the fifth petition, the meaning of this final petition may not be immediately obvious to us. There are actually several different ways as you read this, as you even pray this, that it might, there's several different ways you might understand what Jesus means here. So let's sort through this. Does he mean, by lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil? Does Jesus mean that we're meant to pray, Lord, please don't tempt us today? Is that what Jesus is teaching us? Right? You might think that's what this sounds like, as though lead us not into temptation implies that if we don't pray for that, well, maybe God would otherwise lead us into temptation. That is, that he might be tempting us to sin, and we're asking him not to do that. I don't think that's what Jesus means for us to pray. We know that God not only does not tempt us to sin, he cannot tempt us to sin. And James, in James chapter 1, is very clear on that. Now, let no one say, when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. God can no more tempt us to sin than he can sin himself. So that's not what Jesus means by this petition. Okay, well, maybe what this means is, Lord, don't allow somebody else to tempt us. And I don't think that's entirely right either. I think it's partially right, but it might assume something that's just not true. Namely, that God never wants us to face temptations. I don't think that's true. In fact, sometimes God does intend for us to face temptations. That's precisely what happened to Jesus just a few chapters earlier in Luke's gospel and in Matthew's gospel as well. So here from Matthew chapter 4, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Two things. God is not the one tempting. The devil is. But then second, notice, God the Holy Spirit led Jesus into that temptation. He intended for Jesus to go through the temptations. And the same is sometimes true for us. Just think of the book of Job. Remember what Satan says to God at the beginning of the book of Job. Satan challenges God about Job, stretch out your hand, touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand. Only spares life. Go ahead. Take away his well-being. Take away his family. Take away his possessions. Take away his health. Go ahead. He's in your hands. I give you permission to tempt Job to turn from me. And remember who initiated that conversation. Reread the first chapters of Job. God initiated that whenever he said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And then the rest of this unfolds. Well, then maybe Jesus isn't thinking so much about temptations at all. Maybe that's not what this is about. The Greek word translated temptation here, perasmos, usually means tests or trials in the New Testament. So maybe Jesus means for us to pray, Lord, don't allow us to face tests. Don't allow us to face trials and tribulations in our lives. But that's not entirely right either. Even when God tests our faith with trials, there's still an element of temptation involved in that. Because trials often tempt us to question and abandon God. His love, His control, His sovereignty. I mean, isn't that the whole point of Job, right? God allowed trial after trial to enter Job's life, all of which were designed by Satan to tempt Job into turning from God. As a matter of fact, God does intend for us to face tests of various kinds. He does for the purpose of refining and strengthening our faith. So 1 Peter 1, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Same word, perasmos. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God intends for us to go through tests of our faith and for the purpose of refining and strengthening that faith. Okay, well, if it doesn't mean any of that, then what in the world does Jesus mean in this final petition? Well, here's what I think he means. Calvin, in his Geneva Catechism, says it so well. I just want to quote that. He says that to pray the sixth petition is to ask that the Lord would not permit us to fall into sin or leave us to be overcome by the devil and the desires of our flesh, but rather, and listen, that he would furnish us with his strength to resist, sustain us by his hand, and cover and fortify us by his protection. I think that is exactly what Jesus is getting at in the sixth petition. We're not simply to ask for the avoidance of these temptations and trials that we face in life. We're also to ask for God's spiritual protection if and when we face them. Which is actually how Jesus prayed for us in John 17. I mean, just listen to Jesus' prayer for you and for me when he prayed for us in John 17. Jesus says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. He doesn't ask the Father to spare us tests and trials and temptations that come along with it. That would be to take us out of this world. You would have to leave the world to escape that. And Jesus doesn't pray that for us. Rather, he prays that the Father would not allow those temptations and those trials to overcome and destroy his people when they face them. That's what we're praying for in the sixth petition. We're saying, Father, give us the strength and the protection that we need to stand when we face these tests that you intend to use to refine and strengthen and perfect us. Help us to pass the test. Don't allow a test to come in, any temptation or any trial that would be too much for us to bear. Don't put more on us than we can stand under. Do not allow anything to go beyond what we can bear. Give us strength. Protect us. Go with us through the various trials that we experience in this life. You know, there are temptations that we face now in the Christian life that we just simply couldn't have faced years ago. I hope that's true for us. And I think that's because faith takes time to mature and to strengthen. Right? The Christian life is a marathon. It is not a sprint. You might think of faith as like a muscle. Right? So when you lift weights, you know what you're doing? You're actually destroying the muscle. You are creating these microscopic tears in the muscle fiber and in the connective tissue. You're literally tearing down the muscle, but with enough rest and nutrients that go back into your body rebuilds the muscle. But it doesn't just rebuild it, it rebuilds it stronger than it was before, enabling you to lift more weight the next time. And then each week, you keep lifting, you've got a program, you keep resting, you keep eating. You keep tearing down and rebuilding the muscle again and again. And here's what happens. Your muscles are gradually able to bear more and more weight. And that's just how the Christian life works. The amount of temptations and the amount of trials that you're able to bear at the beginning of the Christian life steadily grows as you grow and you mature in your faith. As you go through those trials, as you get torn down, as it were, and stretched and strained and pressed, as you go through those experiences, you come out on the other side stronger and able to bear more than you did before you went through them. You should be able to stand under temptations now that you wouldn't have been able to 5, 10 years ago. I think that's why God gives us one child at a time. Had God given me 6 kids all at once 10 years ago, I think the faith muscle, it would just have exploded. All right, it would not have been able. Sometimes now with 6, I feel like it's going to explode. But I certainly could not have done that 5, 10 years ago, because there's work that God does in your life cultivating holiness in your life and strength to resist certain temptations that build you up over time. Sometimes it feels like that faith muscle is going to blow up because there's so much weight being placed upon it. But let me just tell you, just listen, God will not let that happen. He never puts more on the bar than you can lift. He might put you right around your max, but he is not going to exceed that, and he's promised us that. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Maybe you've been thinking about this as I've been speaking here. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. I'll say it again. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. He's going to allow the temptations to come, but with that, He is going to provide all that you stand in need of to bear up under those so that your faith is not destroyed. It'll be tested, but as a Christian, it will not be destroyed. God will not allow that to happen. And that's the promise that we are claiming when we pray the sixth petition. We are praying that promise back to God when we say, don't lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's the promise. That is why we need to pray this. And that becomes all the more apparent when we consider what it is that we need protection from. Jesus teaches us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but, positively now, deliver us from evil. Now, the question is, what is the evil that Jesus has in mind here? And there's a small translation issue that you may have noticed depending on the translation that you have. If you've got an ESV or a King James, you'll read, deliver us from evil. That is evil, broadly speaking, any kind of evil that we encounter. But if you've got an NIV and other translations, it reads, deliver us from the evil one. Narrowly or specifically, thinking in particular of Satan. You could translate it either way. I won't go into the details about why you could translate it either way, but you can. But as I thought about this, I think Jesus has the broader view in mind. And let me give you two reasons why I think that. Number one, Peter's commentary on this petition in 2 Peter 2. The Apostle Peter says something in that chapter that sounds very much like he's alluding to this petition as he applies it to his readers. He says in 2 Peter 2, verse 9, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials. I mean, the word trials there is the same word, perosmos, translated temptation in the sixth petition. And in that verse, the word translated rescue in 2 Peter 2:9, that's the same word translated deliver in the sixth petition. So both words appear in a very similar way that Jesus mentions it in the Lord's Prayer. It seems like Peter's alluding to that. But if you follow what Peter's talking about, it's very clear what he has in view when he speaks of evil. So verse 7, he speaks of the Old Testament character Lot. Remember Lot? And how God rescued, delivered him from Sodom? From the attacks from the wicked men in that city. And then in verse 8, Peter further explains Lot's distress in terms of the trials, and I think the temptations that he felt and experienced, quote, day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. So Peter's very clear on what evil he has in mind. He's thinking of the evil of wicked people in that city who were putting him through trials and temptations. Peter doesn't mention Satan at all in these verses. In other words, he did not limit the evil in the sixth petition to that which comes from Satan. Peter includes the evil that comes from human beings. So there's that reason, but then there's a second reason, I think, that Jesus has the broader meaning in view, and that is the sinfulness of the human heart. We have a tendency, when we encounter evil, profound evil, that we immediately ascribe the source of that evil to Satan. Though that has to be Satan. Only Satan could do something that wicked. I mean, he is pure evil. He is the tempter. That has to be from Satan's hand. But we can so focus on the activity of Satan in evil and temptation that we forget about the evil within our own hearts. We use that phrase, the devil made me do it. That is not a good phrase to use. Satan cannot make anybody sin. Satan cannot make you sin. We sin because we want to. Because we're sinners by nature. You don't have to have Satan whispering in your ear to desire sin. You want sin by nature. That's who we are. That's the heart of human beings. Temptations can arise from within our own fallen, wicked, broken, sinful hearts. Let me just give you another text to put under that. James chapter 1, verse 14, the very next verse after what we read earlier. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. He himself tempts no one. That's verse 13. And then you think that James would then say, but let each person say instead, I'm being tempted by Satan. Don't say God's tempting you. Just go ahead and say Satan's the one tempting. But that's not where James goes. Listen to verse 14. Listen to what James says is the source of temptation in our lives. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. James is saying, look, yes, Satan is the tempter. But don't miss the fallenness of your own human heart. Because you got temptations that lure you and entice you coming up from your own desires. Apart from anything Satan whispers in your ear, they are there inside of you. Which is why the Reformed catechisms, when they interpret this petition, they all point to not one, but three sources of temptation. Satan, the world, like we saw in 2 Peter 2, but also our own sinful hearts. And so we need to pray, not just for protection from the devil or from other sinners, but also from ourselves. The confession we read earlier about the attacks from our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh. Attacks, that's a good word to use. We have a disease as human beings called an autoimmune deficiency. What happens with that is your body attacks itself. And there's a variety of ways that your body can do that, but it attacks itself. Which is kind of like what's happening spiritually in our lives. We're attacking ourselves. We're tempting ourselves. We are our own worst enemy sometimes. In the 2008 Marvel movie, The Incredible Hulk, Bruce Banner attempts an experiment to cure himself from being the Hulk. And then you can debate later which one was the better Hulk. Was it Lou Ferrigno? Was it, Mark Ruffalo, I guess, was the new guy. And then Edward Norton. We won't mention the one that came out in 2003. That was a really bad one. In any case, in the movie from 2008, Bruce Banner, the alter ego of Hulk, he wants to cure himself. At one point he says, I don't want to control it, I want to get rid of it. So he goes through this experiment where he tries to get rid of his, you know, turning into the Hulk. But before he starts the experiment, he straps himself down to this table. He restrains himself because he's going to start to turn into the Hulk and they're going to try to mitigate that. But he understands he's got to be restrained because of the capacity within himself for tremendous destruction. Let alone he would go and destroy everything. So he tries to restrain his capacity for destruction. That is not far off from what we are praying for in this petition. When we understand our capacity for sin, and listen, even as Christians, when we understand what we are capable of, we better be praying that God not only protect us from the attacks without, from Satan and from the world, but also from the attacks within, from our own capacity to temptation and sin. That is what we are praying for in this final petition of the Lord's Prayer. Not just for God to keep us from being blindsided from temptation, but also to restrain us from going out and looking for it which we would do were not God working to pull us back and to guard and protect us through the temptations and trials that we face. Because that's so often what we do, right? Then the hymn gets it right. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That is our tendency. And that is also the connection, the link between last week's sermon and this morning. In the sixth petition, we are asking God to help us fight temptation and sin. And in the fifth petition, we are asking God to forgive us when we don't. And Jesus' point is this, is he teaches us how to pray daily. He's teaching us that we have to pray for both. Because he died for both. Do you understand that? He died not just to free us from the guilt of sin, but from the dominion of sin. He died not only that we would be forgiven, but that we would persevere in the Christian life. I love how Jesus prays for Peter. I love that Scripture gives us this. Remember when Peter said to Jesus that he'd follow him anywhere he goes, he'd do anything, he'd never leave Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? Peter, Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he may sift you like wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. I love that. You know why? Because Jesus doesn't just pray that for Peter. He prays that for us. He didn't say, Peter, I won't let Satan sift you. I won't let you go through that trial. He says instead, I pray that your faith won't be destroyed. Satan's going to work on you. The world is going to work. Your own sin is going to work on you. But I've prayed for you. Your faith will not be destroyed. You will turn back. You will repent. And you will be used as an instrument of my grace to strengthen your brothers. Do you understand Jesus prays that for us? Jesus prays for your perseverance in the faith. That is why if you are a Christian, you will never lose your salvation because Jesus won't allow it. He will preserve you through the trials, through the temptations that you experience in the Christian life, which is why you need to pray for that. He's promised you he will do it. Now pray for it. Pray that he keeps his promise. You know, everybody wants to be forgiven of sin, but only a Christian wants to be freed from it. Do you understand what I'm saying by that? A lot of people want to be forgiven, but not a lot of people want to be freed from sin. And so let me just ask you, ask myself, as we close, are we equally as concerned about fighting sin as we are about being forgiven of sin? That's the takeaway question here. This is the application question. Are you equally as concerned about fighting your sins as you are about being forgiven of your sins? After we pray this final petition, do we then strive by God's strength to avoid temptation, to fight it? I mean, let's be honest, how important to you is the pursuit of personal holiness? Where does that rank on your list of needs this week? I'll be honest, as I've spent the past week studying and thinking about this position, I've seen how low on my priority list holiness has been. And Jesus is saying, you don't just need to be forgiven, you need to persevere. You need to fight. You need to pursue holiness. And some of you are thinking right now, yeah, but you don't know how hard my temptations are to face. You don't know what I go through. You don't know the struggles I have and what it's like for me to face what I'm going through. As a fellow sinner, I think I probably have a good idea. But in any case, my ability to relate is not what you need. Whatever you're dealing with, can I just assure you that Jesus can relate? The Savior knows even better than you do what it's like to face even the most intense temptations and trials in the human experience. For we do not have a high priest who was unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. You can never tell Jesus, well, you just don't know what I'm going through. Because He does. He did that for you. So that in your place, Jesus might stand where you so often fall. And so that He would be able and willing to come alongside of you and help you through whatever temptation, whatever trial that you face in this life. When He teaches us to pray this, He's doing so from experience. He knows what it's like to be tempted. And He's saying, call upon Him in prayer when you face it. Call upon Him not only for the daily forgiveness of your sin, but for the daily fight against sin. And by His grace, flee from the temptations that come your way even this week. Let's close with the words of the hymn. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. So take it to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. So we take it to You, Lord Jesus, in prayer, knowing that You know through and through all that we struggle with, all of our weaknesses, all of our failings, all of our sins, the depravity of our human heart. As David prayed, keep back Your servants from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over us. Help us to fight, to persevere in the Christian life, and make us just as concerned about personal and corporate holiness as we are about being forgiven. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen.